Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Psalm chapter 116. If you can, would you mind standing with me, please? And I'll read starting in verse 1. But follow with me, Psalm chapter 116. The Bible says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Father in heaven, I thank you, dear Lord, for the word of God that you gave by inspiration, and you breathed it all out as the psalmist recorded for us. And thankful, Lord, that we have a hard copy of it where we can see your actual words. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to learn from them tonight. Be reminded of some things tonight about you and your goodness to us and how we can go to you as a refuge in a time of trouble as well. Thank you for your love and thank you for your mercy that's new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, bless us together tonight. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Perhaps you've gotten your life in a mess before. Things aren't working out. Things are going against you. You're getting in the wrong direction. And it just seems like sometimes your world starts to crumble underneath you. I remind you tonight, you're not alone. There are millions of people in this world that are going through similar experiences, a little bit down, a little bit troubled by what is happening. One day it seems like everything's going just great, and the next day it's like, whoa, what happened to the good days? As the choir was singing, they reminded me of a horrible experience of my life that took place yesterday. As they said in their song, never crying again. Yesterday on my way here, and I have flown hundreds of thousands of miles, and I came here, I had the worst experience of my life on the airplane yesterday. From the time it takes you to get on board the plane, taxi out, fly, taxi back in, get off the plane, from the East Coast to the West Coast, it's about 6 hours. It's 5 hours of flying and another half hour before and afterward that you're there. And so about 6 hours, large planes, 200, 250 people on board the plane. It was packed, just about every seat. One or two middle seats were empty, but all their other seats were full. And everybody's filling up. The plane's almost full. I'm sitting on the aisle seat where I always sit, and I'm thinking, wow, this is great. There's nobody sitting beside me yet. I might have an extra couple seats. I can kind of stretch things out and put my computer out and not be pushed or crammed. And then I saw a lady coming in with a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. And there's 3 of them, but there's only 2 seats beside me. And they came down the aisle and they look up. I thought, please, Lord, deliverest thou me. And sure enough, excuse us, please. Sure. With a happy face, they came in and sat down. I thought the lady's going to sit by the window, one of those little kids I'm going to have to kind of work with. But instead, this lady that took up her whole seat, she came in and she sat down the middle seat and put the 3-year-old on the other seat by the window. And she kind of balanced, entertained the 1.5-year-old. Because, you know, if they're under 2, you don't have to pay for them, and you can just kind of carry them. And everything was fine. until they sat down. And then the child did not particularly like airplanes. And she started crying a little bit and fussing. And every now and then she would just shriek out a noise like that. Scare the liver out of me. I mean, I'm trying to concentrate reading or working on my computer, which I did throughout the time until the battery went down. I mean, and every now and then she just had a shriek and a shrill that just pierces you. And after we got going a little bit, and it wasn't from air pressure, but the little girl decided to cry. And so she cried for about 30 minutes the first time. And I don't mean whimper, I mean cry. That's why I saw this. Thank God someday they're coming, they'll be never crying again. This kid would cry and then shriek, shrill that would come out, and then cry some more and cry. And then finally she stopped and she'd be fidgeting around and reaching over for my book. And then they finally served me a Diet Coke, and the child thought she would like a little Diet Coke as well. And she grabbed for mine. I'm grabbing for it on my tray. And I'm this 6 hours of this. She wouldn't sit still. She had a t-shirt on that simply said, "It's all about me." I said, "Look, kid, you're one and a half. I'm 68. It ain't all about you, okay? Trust me." Although I have to admit, after 6 hours, she convinced me it was all about her, but I try not to let her know that. And then crying out again. I mean, it was driving me batty. And I got up and went in the back and mentioned to the flight attendants, "Well, this has really been fun, you know," and just kind of laughing because you couldn't do anything else. I wasn't about to cry on the outside. And so I went on back and sitting down. We're going on an hour before we landed at LAX. The little kid started crying again. And you're going to think I'm exaggerating. I am not exaggerating because I looked at my watch. For 60 minutes, the little girl never stopped crying. It wasn't the tear cry. It was a cry like, "It's all about me and this isn't fair and I don't want to do it." And she kept crying. And she would cry and cry and cry. I started out trying to go like this. This is exactly what I did. I didn't want to be too obtrusive. And I just kind of went like this. I mean, it was piercing. And then that didn't work. And I did this. And then I thought, okay, in my bag. I reached in my bag. And I had some noise-canceling headset. I put that on. Then I put my hands over noise-canceling headset. And then I put my head down like this, doing my best. And about that time, a flight attendant came and said, "Sir, there's only about a half hour left, but would you like to sit?" I said, "Yes, I would. Yes, I would. I would." And she let me go up and sit in a middle seat, which I've never volunteered for in my life. It was the best middle seat I'd ever been in my life. Although it was only a few rows away, at least for that 30 minutes, it was a little bit further away from me. She was about 3 rows back than where I was, and I could at least cover my ears. And I mean, the kid never stopped. I'm so thankful that in difficult and dark days, we have a promise that someday there will never be crying. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that wonderful? It means nothing to you. It means everything to me. And I just had to say that. But sometimes you may kind of feel a little down or defeated, like, what's happening in my life? Where are we going with this thing? What's happening in my world? I mean, God cares about us, doesn't he? Even in our desperate hours. But sometimes things will get down. Sometimes we may get down a little bit, but I remind us, we don't have to stay down when the problems come our way. There's always a way out. And there's always, by the way, a way back up through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it behooves each of us to learn and follow that way that the Lord has. The choir mentioned again, there'd be no more pain at all, no tears, and praise the Lord for that. But right now we go through some pain, we go through some tears, we go through some sorrow, as the psalmist talked about in our psalm. And he said in verse 3, in the latter part of it, he said, "I found trouble and sorrow." There was discouragement there. Sometimes you think, this just isn't working out. My world is being turned upside down. What's wrong? Maybe you're not there. Thank the Lord if you're not. But maybe you've been there. Maybe you're getting ready to go through one of those crisis times. But I remind us, the Lord will help us through it. But I think about the struggles coming, and sometimes maybe you feel like Chippy. Chippy was a parakeet, and Chippy, I read the other day, never saw it coming. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean out Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck the vacuum cleaner into the bird cage. About that time, the phone rang. She left the vacuum cleaner and she goes, answers the phone. And about that time, she heard a whoosh. She thought, oh my goodness. She goes running back to the cage and there was no Chippy. She looked and Chippy just got sucked in to the vacuum. The bird owner gasped and put down the phone, turned off the vacuum and opened up the bag, and there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned nevertheless. And since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom and turned on the faucet and held Chippy under the running water. Then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering under the running water and gasping for some air, she did what any compassionate owner would do. She reached for her hairdryer and blasted Chippy with the hot air. Poor Chippy never really knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, there was a reporter that came by and initially had written about the event and came back and contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. "Well," she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." It's not hard to see why Chippy had that kind of a life after going through what he went through. Sucked in, washed up, blown over. I mean, that's enough to steal the joy and the song out of anyone's heart. But can you sometimes relate to Chippy? You feel like you've been sucked in, washed under, blown dry. I mean, you think, where's my world going? The tipsy-turviness of it. I mean, it just seems kind of tough. You know, the pink slip comes. The rejection letter arrives. The doctor calls with not too good news. The divorce papers are delivered. The check bounces. The mortgage lender calls you. The policeman knocks on your door. I mean, there you are, sucked in, blown away, with a lot of struggles, heartaches, problems, discouragements. We've probably all been there at one time or another when it just felt like, even as a Christian, I know the Lord's on his throne, but I wish he'd come down here a little bit and help me right now because I'm struggling. I remind us, by the way, the Lord's right there with you as well, even through that struggle. But sometimes it just seems like when defeat and despair enter into one's life and it seems like there's not a whole lot of hope. And we've been there before, but the problem, though, is that some people not only go through that, they live there in despair. They live there in defeat. They live there in the discouragement and the doldrums of life. They live there down on the bottom. They live there what seems like, go ahead, world, everyone else is walking on me, you might as well too. And they have that attitude that there's just not a whole lot of hope. Life has failed. They feel wiped out, hopeless, useless, unloved. And sometimes you can get to the point where it's like, does anyone really care about me? Is anyone concerned about my life? Does anyone know the struggles I'm going through? I mean, I know you've got some troubles, time, but do you understand? Would you take a moment and step back and just kind of consider with my life for a little bit, the heartaches I'm going through? I mean, you can't feel my pain, although the cliche is, hey, brother, I feel your pain. Do you really understand that pain? It hurts a lot of times. No one else out there in this world can fix it from a human standpoint. Getting knocked down is one thing. Getting knocked out is another. Flunking a test is one thing, but flunking the whole grade? Unnecessary. Having a debate with your spouse is one thing, but a divorce is quite another. Throwing a fit is one thing, but throwing in the towel is unnecessary. How do you deal with how you feel when you feel completely defeated? What's the use? And I want to give you some thoughts along those lines to help you so you don't just go through the hard times and then lose the song and just sit and stare in your cage for the rest of your life. How do you get the song back? Well, let me share with you a few symptoms that come along with people genuinely get defeated. Defeat comes sometimes when we have the uninformed knowledge. We're not sure about God's will in our lives. And this perhaps what the Bible would call, like, you know, the zeal without knowledge. They're excited. It's kind of like the airplane pilot says, good news and bad news. Good news is we're making great time. Bad news is our navigation equipment is broken. I have no idea where we are. It's kind of the good news, bad news thing in our life. I'm going forward, but the zeal sometime without knowledge. Where am I in my life? Am I doing exactly as God wants me to do? And this is kind of the picture of that person that climbs the ladder of success. They get all the way up on the top rung and the top of it, of the building, and realize, I just climbed up the wrong building. It's like, where am I going? I've got the zeal, but what am I doing? There's nothing worse than a wasted life. Make sure you're right in the center of the will of God so you can have the joy of going forward for the Lord. Defeat comes from unconfessed sin. I think about King David. Lived a miserable life for several years because he was just kind of hiding his sins. He didn't want anybody to know. And so he thought he would take it out on others and set up his kingdom and decide he was going to take care of things the way he wanted to. But God finally sent a prophet that said, look, the problem is not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. And the prophet said, thou art the man, and pointed right at him. And I think sometimes defeat comes when we just kind of gloss over things. We're not experiencing the joy of confession of my sin and getting it right with Almighty God. We could kind of hang on to things. Well, it's no big deal that I said something unkind to someone this morning. I mean, what's the deal? Everybody said that before. It's no big deal that I slipped a little bit of that extra slush fund money into my pocket to just all I did was go out, bought some coffee and donuts. I mean, what's the big deal there? I mean, it's no big deal that I fudged a little bit on reporting some income on my taxes. I mean, after all, they've taken enough of my money. I mean, sometimes we just kind of gloss over some things without confessing them to God. I mean, I know I was unloving toward my wife, but I mean, come on. Show me a man that hadn't been unloving toward his wife. What did you do afterward, though? And I'm saying, when we don't go back and confess it. I mean, I told my son, you get this right, and you get that room cleaned up, and you get out in the car, we're going to church right now. You know good and well you didn't talk to your children right. You need to go back and say, hey, I was wrong. I sinned against God, and I sinned against you. Would you please forgive me for talking in that manner? But I'm a man. Believe it or not, I have found through personal research that men sometimes sin as well. And I did all the research with women. It happens. But we go and deal with it and confess the sin as I ought to. Thou art the man. Defeat in our lives oftentimes comes when we just have those uncontrolled appetites. I'm wanting a little bit more. Those appetite usually leads to the road of despair and then failure sometime. Just wanting something else. You ever make up your mind? This is what, you ever have those New Year's resolves? And boy, bless God, I resolve this year, I will not do thus and so. And sometimes those resolves last the whole day. But boy, when nighttime comes, I'm back in that chocolate again. It was kind of hard pushing yourself away. I felt, honestly, this morning, I went to Bible study class. Brother Rupert and I were going, and I walked right past a table that had donuts on it. And I went through it. Good preaching in it. I went right through that. I went past that thing. I walked in that Sunday school class, and I thought, man, you're going to try to teach me something in this Sunday school class? It's spiritual. I mean, you're talking Mr. Self-Discipline. I walked past donuts. I mean, I'm in control around here. And sometimes we just kind of break down a little bit, or we think a little more highly of ourselves than we honestly ought to think. But we've got to watch out, for defeat comes in all directions, and it looks a lot of different things, but sometimes the leader that dallies around with fleshly appetites, when they're found out, you're going to have problems throughout life and struggles that are there. And I'm saying, just a little sin, I've got to deal with it in my life. Defeat comes when sometimes when I just don't care, just the uncaring attitudes that come up with, well, I don't care what God thinks, I don't care what other thinks, I don't care what my parents think, I don't care who knows this, I don't care about my brothers or my sisters, and I'm just not concerned about these other things. I can get a little flippant attitude. Believe it or not, I was in an independent Baptist church not very long ago, somewhere in this country, and I was sitting there in a class, and the Sunday school teacher made the comment, I don't like God, and kept teaching. Never explained it. And after a little bit of time, like 5 minutes, my boiling pressure was coming. I'm thinking, I'm sitting here listening to you, and you don't even like God? And I started thinking, so I finally raised my hand. I said, do you all entertain questions? I hadn't been in the class for it. Do you all entertain questions? Yeah. I said, did I hear you right? You said you didn't like God? Yeah, I don't like God. And he went on to explain why he didn't like God. I said, sir, and this is in a class, I'm thinking, I've never done this in my life in a Sunday school class. But there's a problem here. You need to deal with this thing. Because you not only should love God, you should like God in everything he does. What do you mean you like all the bad things that happen? Yep. They're for my good. I don't understand them. And I said to him to give him a way out, I said, maybe you don't understand something. No, it's not that I don't understand. I don't like God. I think sometimes these little attitudes can creep into our lives and struggles can creep to our lives, and we can translate something that we don't understand as, God, what are you doing to me? When the truth of the matter is, whatever it is that God does, he has a right to. He's God, for heaven's sake. And he does it for our good, the Bible says, not to hurt us, not to defeat us, not to discourage us. He wants to help us. So in the midst of my struggles and problems, I will always love God. I am to always like God. I am to always follow God and trust God with my life and everything. I don't want to put my own interests first. I want to make sure that my life is right with the Lord in every way. But defeat comes from those unresolved problems. I remind us, the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, in Proverbs 28:13. You cover over something, you're not going to go forward. You will not prosper. If you confess it, hey, you can go forward. So I want to learn to deal with my problems daily, or they may lead to the road of ruin for my life or for yours. So I stop and look at my life and think, Lord, please help me in this matter. Help me to get over the defeat, the struggle there. And often the defeat comes, bottom line is, it's because we're not trusting God. I remind us of something, folk. There are a lot of difficulties that can come our way. I mean, there are heartaches. I've never, ever make fun of it. I mean, there's things I mentioned before. A mortgage crisis, a divorce, and many people in most every church have been through divorces. They're never easy. There are no winners in divorce. Getting a pink slip at the office. I lost my job. Kids aren't doing right. struggling in the inside and just trying to get victory here and trying to overcome some of these things. And sometimes in our lives we can think, what's the use? It's like it's overpowering me. It's overwhelming. And I've got to just, Lord, I don't know where to go. I'll tell you where to go. Run to Jesus. Jesus has the answer for all of my struggles, all of my problems, all of my heartaches there. Don't cover over it. Don't say, well, forget it and put it off. Deal with it and work it out in your life. Solutions for defeat, because anyone can be defeated. That's easy. The question is, how do I overcome the defeat that comes up? What do you do when you feel yourself at the bottom of the barrel, just like the psalmist found himself in trouble and in sorrow in verse 3? All failures in life lead to trouble and sorrow. They all do. All the struggles, the heartaches, the trouble sometimes, it will come that way. But when he was, what he was like, and I think about the first thing he did, what the psalmist did in Psalm 116, when he said in verse 3, I found trouble and sorrow. Notice what he did in verse 4, and you ought to underline it. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. You say, well, what does that have to do with my mortgage? It has everything to do with your mortgage. It means you're going to trust God to help you through your problems. He may not come down and pay for it. He may not come down and hand you out the cash you need, but he'll there to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you. And because of that, I can be victorious in my life. So I go through it with the Lord. So he was there to call him. And then he knew the Lord's character, as he said in verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Keep in mind, God cares about you. Amen? God cares about you in every way possible. Hold your finger here and look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I want you to look back in 2 Chronicles and chapter 15 and show you a good verse in your Bible to underline. And I hope you're in the habit of underlining Bible verses. It just kind of helps them stand out at you when you read through your Bible the next year or the next time. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, notice as Azariah was speaking to Asa and trying to help them through the struggles and troubles that they were going through, it says, notice what he said in verse 4, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. He said down in verse 7, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. God takes care of his own. And then back in our text in Psalm 116, the result of his prayer that he had, when the result is in verse 6 where he said, the Lord preserveth the simple. Thank God that he didn't say the intellectuals. I'm so glad he included me on this one. For the simple, he hears us and preserves the simple. He said, I was brought low, and notice, and I underline it, put a star by it in my Bible. He helped me. He helped me. God was there to help me in my struggle, my trials, my problems, my sorrows, my heartache. He helped me so I could deal with these feelings are coming up. They're getting ready to explode sometime in my life. But God's there to help me so I can turn my life over to him. I'm so glad for that. I want you to turn in your Bible too to Psalm 119 and look in verse 143. Psalm 119, 143. And Psalm 119, 143. Notice what the psalmist said, a good verse to underline again. Verse 143, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. In the midst of the struggles that the psalmist was going through, the sorrow, the heartache, the problem with his kids that he had, I mean, the problems with his wife, the problems he was having with his kingdom, he said, Lord, you're there to help me. And your commandments are my delights. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. In Psalm 37, I'm gonna just kind of, in the midst of my trouble, instead of just worrying about it, I'm going to just start quoting some Bible verse. trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Face your defeat and start changing. You may have gone through the heartaches. You may have gone through some extremely troublesome time, and you may be in the midst of it right now. But I say, you can change. You could go on and just kind of in that remorse and defeat and the problematic situation that you're in. You could kind of like the proverbial licking of your wounds. But I remind us, that won't do any good. It won't help to keep feeling sorry for yourself. And you can't go picking yourself up by the proverbial bootstraps to go ahead either. You've got to come back to the Lord and let God take over in your life. So, Lord, you become my only hope. God is my only hope, as the psalmist talked about in Psalm 42. God, hope thou in God, he said, which it is. So my life needs to be able to resolve itself one problem at a time, but start. Just get started. You may have a whole lot of problems out there, and you may. I've dealt with people that have dozens of problems at a time. But you start one problem at a time. And boy, what a joy it is to see God work out and resolve one problem here. And now he worked out another problem and another problem here and another problem. And you work them out one at a time. And you do that. And by the way, your pastor and pastoral staff that he has up here, these men are experts at problem solving. That's how they got the position that they've got. You learn how to resolve someone's problems. You work on problems. You get your own problems. That's where I got all my experience. I've had so many. I resolve my problems, and in turn, I can go help someone else out with their problems as well. But you resolve them one at a time. And don't wait until someone throws you into that junk pile of broken humanity out there. But admit the failure that may be there. Let God clean up and shine you out through his word. And don't let the devil have you defeated person, but remember, be that new creature that God wants you to be, that you're destined to be, because God is not running any kind of a junkyard operation at all. Rather, he is developing people to showcase. You say, yeah, but I've been through such terrible times and a hard time. That's the showcase. You'll be able to say someday, when you get the victory, God delivered me in my problem. God helped me with my sorrow. God helped me when I was down in the slough of despond. God helped me. And that's the joy, because God wants glory through our lives. And I can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Psalms in chapter 18. Back in Psalm chapter 18 as well, as a psalmist talked about the victory that we can have in the Lord as well, and trusting in the Lord in everything and in every way. I remind us, God makes no mistakes at all. Never has, never will. Psalm chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 27, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save our Lord, and who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Look up here for a minute. I remind you again, the Bible says, and I've got to get this solidly fixed in my heart and soul. As for God, his way is perfect. You say, that can't be true. If that were true, I would not be stuck in my marriage like I find myself right now. If God's way were perfect, certainly we would not have the politicians in Washington that we have right now. If God's way were perfect, trust me, we get exactly what we deserve. And God's way is perfect. He knows exactly what he is doing with everyone's life. Even though I do not understand the intricacies of why this happened, or why this person is like that, or why this struggles over, I don't understand. I don't have to understand. I have to trust God. But as for God, his way is perfect. And mark it down. As for God, his way is perfect, And then the Bible said, and he maketh my way perfect. Going through a hard time? Quit thinking about yourself and look to God. He alone can deliver you. There's no magic formula. There's no, I could easily live the Christian life if I had that person as my spouse. If I had those as parents, then I could live for God and enjoy my teenage life. Or if I had their kids, why, it'd be a cinch to be a parent. As for God, his way is perfect. Perhaps we failed the Lord. He's never failed us. And as for God, he maketh my way perfect. Therefore, I'm going to rejoice in his word. And I'm going to carry out the will of God, because God makes no mistakes in my life. Ever. Never will. And I would say one more principle, and I encourage you to think about it and jot it down. I read this somewhere, if not my original thought, but I'm reminded of this as well. And that is, failure is not final with God. Just keep it in mind. Failure is not final with God. I may have the defeat, I may have gone through the struggles, I may have had the heartaches, but my failures are not final with God. God's probably doing something good in my life, and I'm just not letting him do it. The Lord just wants to do an extra work, and I just need to let my God do it. So don't try to lift yourself up. Just confess our failures before God. It's that simple. Ask for forgiveness. Lord, I've made a mess of this thing. I've worried about it. I've struggled about it. I've taken it in my own hands. Lord, I'm turning it over to you. And I want the victory in my life. I'm going to trust God completely with my life and my life's situation. Please, let us not run any further. Let us not pull back and withdraw from God and society and Christianity. Let us say, Lord, here I am. I'm in the pit like Joseph was, but I'm going to trust you even in the pit. And Lord, you've set my feet on a solid rock and pulled it up out of the miry clay. And now, Lord, even though I've got the drippings of failures on me and defeat, by the grace of God, I'm going to look God in the face tonight and say, Lord, you take my problems. You take my struggles. Lord, you take my defeats. Lord, I give you my heartaches. I give you my failures. And God, I promise you, I will trust you from here on. Let God have his way in your life, and you'll experience the great joy and victory that can be yours. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for caring about each one of us. And Lord, we all at one time or another go through struggles, sorrows, tears, heartaches, troubles that come our way. But Father, please help us to trust you in the midst of the storm. Help us, Lord, I pray, to have our confidence in thee. Help us, Lord, I pray, with sorrows and struggles there, to just turn to thee and let go of our lives and let you, Lord, run them. Help us, Father, I pray. Give us victory in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.